This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or at venues around the city, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and to find your next favorite artist or band. And of course, if you like what you hear, make sure that you rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Molly Tuttle. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Alisa Ali at WFUV. Alisa, Molly is such a star in the roots scene, and her musical influences are so varying from, you know, bluegrass and folk Americana, that roots sound, of course. Talk to me about listening to these beautiful songs live and getting to sit down with her and talk to her.
She's, first of all, a lovely human being, so sweet and very present, which I enjoy, because sometimes when you're talking to someone, you can see that they're thinking about a million other things, but she was really present. And I really enjoy this new record, and it just shows you that she can't be put into one box. I think people really got used to her being this one thing, which was this bluegrass star. But this record shows that she's got so many different sides to her. I mean, there's even a cover of the Charlie XCX and Icona Pop song, I Love It. And it doesn't make sense, but it does make sense because she doesn't care. She loves it. She doesn't care whether she's fitting into one box or not. She's just going to bring you the songs that she loves in the way that she loves to play them. And that does still include a bluegrass flavor, but it's also mixed in with all these other styles as well.
Yeah, and actually, I just want to shout out the fact that if listeners want to come see Molly Tuttle play live, she is going to be playing in a concert for WFUV. So you can come out to an evening with Molly Tuttle and the Mountain Goats and hear them both perform live. That show is taking place on Tuesday, November 11th at Sony Hall. And tickets for it actually go on sale the week that this episode is dropping. Tickets go on sale Friday, September 26th. And again, the show is Tuesday, November 11th at Sony Hall, featuring Molly Tuttle, who you're going to hear in this episode, and the Mountain Goats. So please come out and support WFUV, everyone's favorite public radio station, and listen to Molly's multi-genre music. For now, let's get into the first song that she plays in this session. Alisa, what is that going to be?
The first song is a song that she mentions that is one of her favorites. It's Highway Nose and Molly Tuttle live in Studio A.
Traveler on life's road needs a companion, a ride along through rain and snow, cross the desert canyon. Found a friend when you jumped in. Shotgun, love to last until the journey's end. Like a river running to the ocean blue, like a million roads leading back to you. You're my destination, you're my life. The wheels fall off. Just a road map and an old guitar thrown in the back seat. Following a shooting star, you're flagging down some back street. Like a dream when you jumped in. Shotgun, now I don't want this high. Like a river running to the ocean blue, like a million roads leading back to you. You're my destination, you're my last stop. And the highway knows I'm gonna love you till the wheels fall off. Thank you. ocean blue, like a million roads leading back to you. You're my destination, you're my last stop, and the highway knows I'm gonna love you. Like a lone wolf howls at the silver moon, like a million stars shining down on you. You're my destination, you're the mountain top, and the highway knows I'm gonna love you. The highway knows I'm gonna love you. And the highway knows, the highway knows, the highway knows I'm gonna love you till the wheels fall off.
Molly Tuttle, live in Studio A. I'm Elise Alley, and so glad to have Molly with us today for this FUV live session. She's passing through town on the Highway Knows Tour, and that was the song the tour is named after. It's from the new album, So Long, Little Miss Sunshine. Thank you so much for performing that live in Studio A.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's wonderful to stop by.
I love the performance. It's really great to just hear you and a guitar and a really stripped back version of the song. Is that how the songs kind of initially come together?
It is, yeah. I mean, when I'm writing a song, it's just me and a guitar at home. And when I go back and listen to my first demos, it sounds something like that. When we get into the studio, we kind of work out the different arrangements and like the guitar solos I take. I'm usually kind of improvising in the studio. Generally, after the album comes out, I have to go back and relearn the songs because a few months go by and then I've forgotten everything I did. It's always fun to go back and play them how they were initially imagined.
So do you just always have a recording device with you at all times? Is it your phone or?
It is kind of my phone. Yeah. I mean, I'm not the best with technology. I have a few mics at home that I can record myself with. I actually made a whole record that I recorded myself during the pandemic because no one was really going into studios for a while. But now I've basically forgotten everything I learned about that. So I just do the voice memos on my phone, which sound surprisingly good sometimes.
And then you are always kind of, I was talking to you earlier, like, are you always writing? You're like, I wish I was always writing. But a lot of times you are. And then it probably helps that your partner, Ketch, from Old Crow Medicine Show, is also a musician and also living with you and helping you, and you're helping him work out stuff. So I would assume if you start fiddling on something, he's like, wait, stop, let me record this. Is that how it works out?
It does work that way sometimes. I mean, sometimes he won't be in the mood to write a song, or I won't be in the mood, and then I feel like I can get him to write a song with me if I come up with a cool idea on the guitar, if I start singing a cool melody. So sometimes I'll be like, go on, let's write a song. They'll be like, ah, I don't want to right now. And then I'll just have to come up with something cool enough to like entice him into writing with me.
That's so funny. And he's on the record a lot.
Yeah,
right?
He
plays a bunch of different things.
He plays so many different things. I lose track of everything he played on the record, but fiddle, banjo, mandolin, the harmonies you hear are all, I'm singing some, he's singing some, the producer, Jay Joyce, even sang a few of them. He's all over it, which was really fun.
Oh, and you're playing banjo for the first time.
Yeah. When I was a teenager, I grew up in a family band. My two younger brothers played, and my middle brother, he's an amazing guitar player, and my dad played bass, and then we had a friend, AJ Lee, who would play mandolin with us. But there was already a guitarist in the band because my brother played the guitar, so I would be on banjo. So that's kind of how I learned to play when I was growing up, was playing with my family. And we made a couple records just at our house, our home studio, and I played banjo on them, but it had been years and years. I never played banjo on any of my own solo records, so this was the first time for that, which was fun.
But playing banjo, I would assume, kind of had a really formative result on your guitar playing, because you play in this clawhammer style, which I think really comes from the banjo, right?
Yes. I had only ever heard people play clawhammer banjo, and then someone I knew growing up showed me how to play clawhammer guitar, and it's the same rhythmic style with your right hand. You hear it on a few songs throughout my new album is the clawhammer guitar, but then there's also some clawhammer banjo on the album, and then I'm also playing some banjo with finger picks, which is more the bluegrass style. The scrug style banjo playing is this really fast picking that you hear in bluegrass music. So there's all these different techniques that people use with the banjo, which is really fun. But it did have a huge influence on my guitar playing. Even when I'm not playing the clawhammer style, I feel like some of my guitar ideas are derived from the banjo.
And this album, so long, Little Miss Sunshine, is the album that you've been wanting to make for a long time. You have actually been working on this record for a while as you've been putting out other records. I mean, you're known, obviously, for your bluegrass style, but this is a little bit different. Tell me what reservations you had about putting this album out, because it's not a strictly bluegrass album.
Yeah, this album was kind of a long time in the making. Mainly the writing process took years. The oldest song on the album is probably one called Golden State of Mind that I wrote maybe even before the pandemic, 6 years ago. And that was the first song Ketch and I ever wrote together. And I knew that it was the start of this new sound that I was chasing after, but I felt like I was at a crossroads. Like, I'm either going to make this kind of more contemporary sounding record, or I'm going to make a bluegrass record. And the bluegrass songs were just flowing for me. That's kind of where like this door opened. I was writing all these bluegrass songs. I had a full record. And then this album just took longer to kind of marinate. I didn't feel like I had the group of songs that I felt really strongly about going in and recording. And then so over the last couple of years, I was working on my bluegrass project. I made another bluegrass record, City of Gold, in addition to Crooked Tree, which was kind of my first straight ahead bluegrass album. And I put this one on the back burner, but I was still like writing songs for it. And then finally this last year, I was like, it's time. And I'd been talking to Jay Joyce too for a few years now. So we finally started pre-production last fall. And I just think that having the experience of making two records that were so in my wheelhouse and playing the music I grew up with and just feeling totally in my comfort zone, but also having these restrictions around like the instrumentation and the songwriting, it was fun to play music that's just has all these strict genre rules and things that you adhere to. It gave me the confidence and gave me a base to go from and then explore on this latest album.
So the first single from this new record is That's Gonna Leave a Mark. It's really the poppiest song on the record. And you put this one out first, and I think probably your fans are like, what has happened? She has gone totally pop. However, you're still clawhammering.
I'm still clawhammering away on it.
So, you know, it just shows the breath that you have.
Thank you. We went back and forth about the first single, and, you know, ultimately,
it's kind of a controversial move to
put
that one out,
right?
It's
a little bit controversial. We almost put out Rosalie, which is probably the most bluegrass song, to just kind of ease people into it.
And I'm actually like, you know, surprised you put Rosalie on there. Because that one seems like it would be on a bluegrass album.
Yeah.
But again, it's...
That's kind of why we wanted to, just to have something like that. And I was like, maybe I could save this. I'm sure I'll do another bluegrass album, probably sometimes in the next few years. But I liked having that one that could live on any of my albums, really. But it was fun to play around with the production and see how far we could take it outside of that realm.
This is a really fun song, and I'm so glad you're going to do it for us now. It's Molly Tuttle live in Studio A.
How do you look so good with no sleep, sugar? Don't mean to stare at you, but damn, I couldn't hide it if I tried to. And I don't want to wait another day, another minute, wondering how you feel. If you're gonna keep your feelings undercover when I come around, I can't deal, I can't deal. I know, I'll regret it later, but you're so try to fix it when you break my heart. Knew when you hit me with your poison dart, that's gonna leave a mark. That's gonna leave a mark. You know it's hard out here at FUV, so why'd you have to bring the heat wave, baby? If I was smarter, I'd up and leave, but I like to play with fire. And I don't want to wait another day, another minute, wondering if it's real. Are you feeling what I feel when you come around? Tell me now, what's the deal? What's the deal? I know, I'll regret it later, but you're so good in all the bad ways. Don't try to fix it when you break my heart.
That's Gonna Leave a Mark, a live version of the song performed by Molly Tuttle, that song off the new album, So Long, Little Miss Sunshine. I am here with Little Miss Sunshine herself. Okay, do you hate the term Little Miss Sunshine?
I feel neutral. I mean, I like it when I'm singing it. There's a song that I took that line from, and it's so fun to sing. I just like the sound of it.
Yeah, but this is a
great
movie, by the way.
As far as being called Little Miss Sunshine, I don't know.
No, that's an insult.
But I did like the movie when I was growing up, too.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, totally.
But it's a great song, too. And this album is so much fun, and it's so interesting, this mix of music. You've got the highway songs on there, traveling. I mean, speaking of traveling, you're on a very long tour. Are your tours normally this long?
I'm pretty much always touring.
Oh, you kind of are.
But this is definitely the longest one of the year, and it's one of the longer ones I've done. If you add it all up, all my shows got put into this fall period, and it is kind of like I'm never going home until Christmas, probably, which is a little unusual. I had a lot of time off at the beginning of the year, and I kind of like that, just having a break where you're not focusing on touring, and then when it's ready to go, you're in it.
This is my life now.
Yeah.
And you have a new touring band. Mm-hmm. You haven't said goodbye to Golden Highway.
No.
On the highway. You're just gonna put
we're
a pin in it.
Switching lanes.
Yeah, you're just switching lanes. But this new live lineup is a really cool lineup, and it's an all-female lineup, and it wasn't even intentional.
Yeah, and that's one thing, when we got together for the first time as a band during our first rehearsals, we're like, this is so cool. It's all female, but none of us even really tried to make it be that. I mean, it came together so naturally, and that's how I know it's the right move. If something just falls together, it's almost like you're not trying. I feel like that's really what leads me to make these creative decisions, and it just felt like the right time, and I just feel totally energized by playing music with all these amazing people.
Let's give them a shout out.
Yeah, Vanessa McGowan plays bass with me, and she kind of switches between upright and electric bass. She's amazing, and she was the first person I reached out to, and she kind of helped me put the rest of the band together. And on the drums is Megan Jane. And I actually toured with her back in 2021, and we did these pandemic era live streams together. So it's kind of fun to be reunited with her. She's a great drummer. And when we do the more stripped down bluegrass stuff in the show, she switches to washboard, which is very fun. She has a gold sparkly washboard that she spray painted.
Nice. I love that.
And Ellen Angelico is an amazing electric guitar player. She plays pedal steel, banjo, and dobro. She's mostly playing dobro and electric guitar in the show. Again, like when we do the bluegrass stuff, she switches to the dobro. Last but not least, Mary Meyer. She plays just about everything as well, but in our show, she's playing mostly fiddle and mandolin and a little bit of keys. She grew up in a bluegrass family band, so we kind of have that in common when we do play the bluegrass stuff. We're both like, yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the sequencing of the album, because I feel like it must be very intentional. It opens up with a very bluegrassy song, and then it ends with like a "This is how I came to be" song. Did you methodically go through and put these things in order, or was it you and a team saying this should go here, like puzzle pieces?
It was such a different method that I had never really done before, where we actually talked about the order of the songs before we even tracked anything. And Jay Joyce, who produced the record, and I just kind of like, well, we mapped out maybe the first half, and then we recorded it in sequence. So the first day, we're like, we're going to record Everything Burns. This is the first song on the album. And that was because we wanted to have these little musical interludes where I'm playing little guitar pieces. And you do hear that on some of the songs. They just merge from one to the next. And then after the first couple of days, I think we lost track of what the order was. So I think the first half of the record we had really planned out. Maybe the next record we'll have totally planned out, but there was a little wiggle room there. But still, we got some of those guitar interludes in there. And I think the flow ended up being really cool. But one thing I liked was that my last couple records, I've always ended with this kind of autobiographical song on my last two records. And then that just so happened to happen again. The story of my so-called life is the last track. And it's definitely just kind of like a song about my life and all these different things that I remember growing up, kind of like a coming of age story.
I know this probably changes, and it's early in the cycle now, but do you have a favorite song from the album?
Oh, that's tough. I think my favorite, especially like when the record was done, I was kind of the most excited about The Highway Knows. And so that's why I was happy we named the tour that, and it was the second single. But that one, it started off just with a little guitar riff years ago that I had sitting again in my voice memos. I didn't know what to do with it. And then it just totally transformed over the process of making this record. And I was really happy with how it came out.
I am really into Old Me, New Wig. It is so fun. I changed my guitar strings so I can tune you out. I got a new song to sing. You don't know who it's about. It's very sassy.
Yeah, very sassy. That one actually is probably my favorite to play live, because from the first line, people are like, yeah.
And actually, I feel like the album cover probably has something to do with that because you've got a bunch of different wigs on the album cover and then you have without a wig.
Mm-hmm. When I was thinking about the cover, I was looking through the songs and I'm like, I want the album cover to kind of reflect the music. And I knew that the album kind of reflected all these different sides of what I do and my musical styles I'm exploring. And then I was just looking at the lyrics too to see like, well, what do I want the album to be called? And when I got to that song, I was like, maybe I could do something with the wig idea. So I had sort of two ideas where I was like, either one, I'm on a highway, some sort of Americana landscape, because that's what some of the songs are about. But then I was like, if we do this So Long, Little Miss Sunshine idea, I want to be wearing a million different wigs on the cover. And that just seemed more fun. So we went with that. We took some of the different songs on the album and tried to be like, okay, if the song were a hairstyle or a character, what would it be? And so we tried to reflect the music with the different get-ups that I'm wearing on the cover.
What's your favorite wig on the cover?
Ooh, I like the one that's like long and red with all the flowers in it.
I like the Dolly Parton-ish one.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that one is that super fun.
These are from your personal collection, obviously. Do you have more wigs or guitars?
It's so hard to say. I have so many of both. I think I probably at this point have more wigs than guitars. It's a problem. Both of them are all over my house.
I love that. That's a great image. All right. So Molly, thank you so much for coming in. You're going to close out the session with one more song, and it's going to be from your Grammy Award winning album, City of Gold. Which will you play for us now?
I'm going to play you all a train song. This is from my last record before the new record, and this one's called San Joaquin.
Thank you so much, Molly.
Thanks for having me.
That was Molly Tuttle performing and in conversation at WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to Molly for joining us in our studio and to Warner Music. Thanks to our WFUV audio team, including Jim O'Hara, Aaron Merriman, Holden Buckley, and Thomas Lapis. Our FUV live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producers for this episode were Diana Juarez and Liv Grant. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV live sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV live sessions on WFUV.org. FUV live sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Alisa Ali.